Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, 1 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Let's pray together. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for bringing us in this morning into your presence to pray and to read your word and to fellowship with you. God, I pray that you would come and meet with us. I thank you that you're already here. I pray that you would open our eyes to be able to see you, and I pray that you would reveal yourself to us in a special way today as we come together. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I imagine that most of us would know this verse. We probably love this verse. It's a very popular verse in the church, and it tells us very clearly what it is that God wants from us. He wants us to give our lives to Him. He wants us to offer up our lives to Him. But one of the things that I have been learning as I have been doing youth ministry is that there are three concepts when it comes to our faith. There is knowledge, which refers to the what of our faith, what it is that we need to do. And then there is the wisdom, which refers to the how of our faith. So how are we supposed to do what we're called to do? And then the last concept is called understanding. And understanding refers to the why of what we do. And what I have learned is that it is important for young people to understand the why, as well as to know what and how it is they need to do with their lives. You know, so we can tell them to do certain things, certain activities, and we can even teach them how to do it, how to pray, how to spend time with God. But if they don't have the understanding as to why they need to do certain things, it'll be easier for them to turn away from God later on. You know, when things get tough, when they go off to college, they don't have their parents looking over them and, you know, telling them what to do, they don't have a community around them, it's easy for them to let go of their faith if they don't have the understanding as to why they are called to do what they're called to do. So it is kind of like fasting. Every year at SP, we go through 21 days of fasting. And for example, this morning, the Cambodia team is fasting breakfast to pray for Cambodia. And fasting is very, very hard to do. You know, I don't think any of us enjoys fasting, but when it comes to our time of fasting in the beginning of the year, we all do it, not just because it's a thing that we do at church, but because through the years we have gotten great teaching, actually, you know, about why we should fast, you know, about the benefits of fasting, about the effects of fasting, about the power of fasting. So when we understand why fasting is good for us and why we should do fasting, then even though it is very, very difficult and it is painful to fast and to come out to early morning prayer every day for the 21 days or 40 days or how many days you're fasting, we can do it because we understand it and we will persevere through. So in the same way, as I look at this verse, Romans 12:1, that tells us to offer our bodies to God as living sacrifice and to really live our lives for Him, we must ask ourselves why. Why must we live for God? Why must we give our lives to Him even through the difficult times, even when it becomes difficult, even when it's a sacrifice for us to do so? And so I encourage you to ask that yourselves, you know, in your own quiet time with the Lord and thinking about your faith. You know, why do we do this? Why do we do what we do as Christians? And unless we can have clear, concrete answers as to why we do certain things. I think when it becomes difficult, it's easy for us to just turn away and let go of it. And so here's my thoughts, and this is what I try to teach the youth group kids. And I don't know if it makes any sense to them. I think it might be, my youth group kids might be too young to understand. They're at the stage where you just tell them what to do. But hopefully it'll benefit you. And later on, I'm sure I'll be able to talk to them more about these things. So why must we give our lives to Him? Why must we live for God? Number one, because it is better. Because it is better when we live our lives for God. When we give up our desires, our longings, our own life, and we live for God, it is better. Jesus says, you know, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? And the way to really find our soul, the way to really live a life, is to give up this life and to live for God. I remember hearing this illustration, for some reason I always remember it, you know. It's like we have this Japan home pen, which writes pretty well actually, but we give God this Japan home pen, and God gives us a Mont Blanc, you know. I think it was Pastor Jimmy Stewart that said it, and it just stuck with me. You give God a Japan home pen, and God gives you back a Mont Blanc. It's not like you're sacrificing so little, and yet God gives you something so much greater. And I think I remember because it's so true for me. One of my biggest obstacles for me going into the ministry was that I just didn't think that God was good, and I just didn't think that being a Christian was better than not being a Christian. So I'm here sitting in front of the students. I'm trying to teach them about God, and I'm thinking, I honestly in my head thought, oh, I pity these guys, these poor children coming to church and having to live for God. And I had this wrong attitude about God, and I didn't understand the goodness of God. I didn't know that God was good, that He just wanted great things for my life, and and that I could trust Him. And so out of that came all these negative thoughts, and I thought God was about rules and about suffering and things like that. But it's not true. That God's Word tells us that He is a good God, and if we give our lives to Him, if we truly live for Him, it is better than what we could do on our own. So that's one of the reasons why we live for God. Number two is at the end of our lives, nothing else is going to matter. Right? If we take the time to think about eternity and to live with an eternal perspective, then we realize, man, if we live our lives just for ourselves here on this earth, when we get to heaven, what are we going to say to Jesus? If we take the moment to think about eternity, you know, at the end of our lives, we're face to face with Jesus. Why wouldn't I live this life for Him now if I can just keep that eternal perspective? You know, because when it comes down to it, at the end of it all, you know, even if I was talking to my brother about this a long time ago, and we're thinking, you know, what if we did great, you know, technological improvement and we made some new innovation and, I don't know, created whatever, some computer product. When it comes down to when we're face to face with Jesus, what are we going to say? Oh, God, I made this great computer product. You know, but God's not going to be impressed with that. God's not going to be impressed with what we do in our lives unless we're doing it for Him. You know, He looks at our heart, right? And I spent about 2-3 hours of my life yesterday rooting my phone. If you don't know what that means, that's okay. You're blessed not to know what that means, but I had to root my phone, and it took me 3 hours to do it, and I was spending all this time, and I actually got, I felt like God had told me even before I was getting into it, He said, don't do it. You're going to waste your time. But I did it anyway, and I felt so bad last night and this morning as I was praying and thinking about this. And in eternity, whether my phone has some functions or not is not going to matter. And so we need to have eternal perspective. When we have eternal perspective, when we think about the end of our lives, then we realize, man, yeah, why wouldn't we live our lives for God? So that's second reason why we live our lives for God, because nothing else will matter in eternity. Number three, And this is from Tim Keller. I learned it from Tim Keller from one of his sermons. And he says, when we approach God, if God is really what he says he is in the Bible, and we really believe that he exists, we cannot approach him on our own terms. The only way to approach such a God, like the Bible, is with surrender, with fear and trembling, and in reverence. You know, it doesn't make sense for us to say, yes, I believe that God is real, and then we approach him like we would approach a restaurant or a hotel. You know, we think, oh, this service is really good here, so I'm going to go to this restaurant or this hotel or this room's really nice, the bed's really comfortable here. And we approach God like that, we think, oh, if God can do this for me, if God does this for me, for my life, and if he does something well for me here, then I'm going to live for God. But really, if God is who he says he is in the Bible, it doesn't matter what he does in this life. It's not about our own happiness or our own well-being. For God is what he says he is, God Almighty, creator of the universe. The only way to approach him, the only way to have a relationship with him is with us an attitude of surrender and really living our lives for God. You know, when we went to the leadership conference with the staff a few months ago, one of the things we learned was that they asked all the older leaders if they could describe the younger leaders of this generation with one word, what would it be? And the word starts with E, okay? So older generation talking about the younger generation, and one word to describe the younger generation of leaders. And it starts with E. So these leaders are thinking, I don't know, excellent, or, you know, what's some good other E words, like encouraging, eager. You know, they're thinking of all these exceptional, you know, all these great E words. And the speaker says, and the word was entitled. Entitled. And that he was talking about the sense of entitlement that we have in our generation. And we think we deserve everything. We think we have a right for everything. And that carries over when it comes to our relationship with God. We feel so entitled to things. And we say, God, you didn't do this for me. And you didn't come through for me here, so forget it. I'm not going to live for you. I'm not going to surrender. I'm not going to worship you. I'm not going to come to you like this. And we have this sense of entitlement in so many things that we do. But you cannot have a sense of entitlement when you come to God. If God is who he says he is, you can't approach him with a sense of entitlement. You approach him with surrender and complete worship, reverence, fear, and trembling. And so why do we live for God? Because he's God. Because he is Almighty Creator, there is no other way to have a relationship with him. We can't say, it's not about us. So that's the third reason why we live for God. Because he is God. Because he is Creator of the universe. But number four, and probably the best reason of them all, is love. You know, we live for God because we love God. And because he first loved us, we respond back to him in love, and we choose to give our lives to him in love. And if you could think, I couldn't think of a specific situation, but I think, let's say you're a teenager and you're kind of, not as cool or not as in the in crowd, and someone from the cool crowd wants to have a friendship with you. He's just really nice to you and really just looks out for you and approaches you. You would feel really blessed. You'd be like, wow, I gotta understand. Why is this guy so nice to me? Why is this person who is in the cool crowd wanting to have a relationship with me? I mean, God is kind of like that, but to a much greater degree. I mean, why would God want to have a relationship with us? Why would God want to have a loving, one-on-one relationship with us? We don't understand why, but I hope that our hearts will always be moved when we think about this, when we think about this fact that God wants to have a love relationship with us. I hope that our hearts will be moved from the depth of who we are, and that we would respond to him back with love, you know? And with a desire to really live for him. So That's a very simple four reasons why I believe we must live for God. But in any aspect of our faith, I think it's very important that we have understanding as well as the knowledge and the wisdom. You know, as well as knowing the what and the how of our faith, we need to gain understanding. We need to know why we're called to do certain things. And so I hope we can meditate upon that, and let's have a time of worship.
My every breath, for you've paid the great cost.
Lord. And let's just, as the song says, let's offer up our lives to Him once again and take this time to recommit. Let's go to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters whose family members are sick with cancer and going through chemo. And so let's pray. The names are on the screen. So let's go through each person and really pray that God would do something and bring breakthrough and healing and comfort and peace to the family members in this time. So let's pray for our brothers and sisters. Let's go to the second community slide. Let's pray for our family members at church that have illnesses, but they also need to be saved. They also need to have a relationship with God. So let's pray that God will move in their hearts. And let's also pray for different infirmities, different sicknesses. Let's pray for God's healing and covering over them. Thank you. Let's go to our third community slide. Let's pray for our church members that are looking for a job. Let's pray that God would bring them favor, that there will be divine appointments, and that God would really speak to them in this time and give them peace and assurance and confidence in the Lord. So let's really pray for our brothers and sisters in this time. Let's go to our mission prayer focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Pastor Oh, the missionary there, and New Life Church that we partner with for the worship conference. Pastor Tang, the senior pastor of New Life Church. Let's also pray for Center of Peace Orphanage that we have a relationship with, and also Grace Chung and Bloom. Let's also cover other Southeast Asia countries, Philippines, and let's also pray for Bhutan. Let's pray that God will move in these countries. So let's lift up these nations before the Lord. Let's pray for the mission trips. Let's pray for the two mission trips to Cambodia, the Bloom trip, July 28th to August 4th, the worship conference trip, August 7th to 12th, and the Indonesia trip has just left this morning. So let's pray that they'll have an amazing time as well. So let's cover our mission trips. Thank you. let's pray for our SP ministries. Let's pray for the IP team, the Cascade ministry, the Well ministry, and the local outreach. Let's pray for God's anointing. Let's pray for the ability for these ministry members to hear from the Lord. And let's pray that they'll be able to minister out of their being. So let's cover all the ministry members and the ministry leaders. Let's pray for God's anointing upon them. So let's pray for the SP ministry. Lastly, let's pray for our summer Bible study. It's happening tonight. Let's pray for just a great time of fellowship and learning and that it'll be a good time for our church members to connect with each other but also to really learn from the Word. So let's pray and cover the summer Bible study. Dear Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence here. And we want to continue to pray and lift up our church members, God, our brothers and sisters, and different ministries and the mission trips coming up. We thank you that you hear our prayers. God, I pray that you would give us a real heart of intercession, God, as we spend some time in prayer this morning, and help us to throughout the rest of this day, God, to live for you, God, to remember to offer up our lives, God, our bodies as a living sacrifice to you, God, today. Thank you for, and once again, we thank you for your love, God, and we give you our hearts, we give you our lives, we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. God bless you guys. We encourage you to spend a bit of time in prayer and have a great day today.